Okay. So, where are we? My smart board disappeared again. I'm going to see if it will come back when I click on that. That seems to be the answer, is to let it go away, but as long as I have that little thing up there, then it comes back. Only except it didn't actually take a picture. Okay, now it did. Okay. Okay, so the one that I asked you to do last week was the basic payroll assignment, and that was to write out and solve a problem. If you haven't got that done, it might help if you turn it off the lights, right?
Yeah.
If you haven't got that done, the one up here that's penalty. I don't like that word. Penalty. That's a tongue twister for me, at least. Okay, penalty and point example. And if you look at that, it's an example very similar to what I asked you to do. So I set up all the forms to calculate total points and penalty. And I had three different things that I wanted to, codes 1, 2, and 3. And I put in the points and I put in the penalty, however I calculated the penalty, and I've got a button to get me the total points and a button to get me the total points after the penalty is taken away, I believe. Maybe that should have said total penalty, but anyway. And I put the code in there. So there's the code for setting up the form. And I've got that in there. And then I have the fact that you're going to push the button and everything down there. And so I basically step through it. And there's the function that will clear the total. And so I've got the function that calculates the total penalty and the function that calculates the total points. So basically, if you're having problems with that, I'm not going through this whole thing, but it is an example that's very similar to what I've asked you to do in lots of ways. So I put that out there. I didn't want to put it out last week because I wanted you to try it without the help. But if you are having problems with it, then take a look at that. Okay? The other thing is just to run this. There's a second web project assignment. And the first web project assignment counts more. The second one doesn't count as much. It is incorporating JavaScript. And so you can either go back and incorporate it in your original site, or you can do another site that just does JavaScript. Or what a lot of people have done in the past is put a button on their original site that said, to see my JavaScript, click here, and they put it on a separate page. So that works fine too. Yeah, you had a question?
No, actually.
Okay. So essentially, I want you to go through and do something with JavaScript. And as I said, it shouldn't be too close to my example. So I don't want you to take my examples and essentially change the names and do that. I want you to actually do something with it. Okay? So these are the things that you have to include. If you don't include them all, obviously you don't get the right number of points. But do something. Okay, so if you leave out a few things, you'll lose some points, but you won't lose it all. So that's what you're doing next. And then this example is a payroll problem. And this is what I want you to do in JavaScript. And I want that done. I'm going to go over it Monday, except then I remembered that Monday is actually Wednesday, so change that to Wednesday. Because next week, Monday is Wednesday. Okay? Or Wednesday is Monday, or whatever.
So there's Wednesday classes on Monday next week?
No,
no, Monday class is on Wednesday.
Oh.
Because Monday's a holiday next week.
Huh?
That's fine. Monday is a holiday next week, right? The 20th, it's the 20th, and it's Patriots Day, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a holiday, so the Monday's classes will be held on Wednesday. Okay? So I should have said I plan to go over on Wednesday because that's when the classes are going to be. Okay, so what you're going to do with this one is I've got, and it doesn't come out to speak here, but essentially I want you to set up a form that takes in a name, and then you decide whether you're getting, whether it's a salary employee or an hourly employee. And if it is an hourly employee, you enter hours worked and pay per hour. If it's a salaried employee, you enter salary. And then you tell the medical plan, and the medical plan is to deduct $50 if it's an A, $35 if it's a B, and $25 if it's a C. And then you get their total pay. Okay? So you're using radio buttons in there, and you are doing the calculation, so you have an if statement to check and see if you click salary, you're doing this. If you click hourly, you're filling in those two and doing that. Okay. So those are the assignments for next week. So now we're going to go back to looking at JavaScript. Okay, so we left off somewhere. We looked at the loops with the math, right? You're supposed to be remembering this, right? Right? We looked at loops with the math, and the last thing I think I had you do was to go in and stay in the math problem.
Oh, yeah.
For forever until the person got the right answer. Okay. So that was the math stuff that's under loops. And then I think I very briefly looked at arrays, and I think I very briefly looked at the checkboxes. And so I want to look at those today. So I'm going to start out going down with the checkboxes. So I'm going to look at checkbox courses to start out with. Okay, so here I have a checkbox, and if I say that, check it like that, I'm saying that I'm taking CIS 120. And if I check them all, it says taking all three. And if I just check two of them, it tells that you're taking 120 and 122. Okay, so it tells what courses you're taking. So, and then I put in this line here, which is refresh this page, which is a lot faster than the clear I went over with you before, where you have to go in and clear out things. This one little line down here at the bottom basically reloads it and clears it out. And it's a little JavaScript function. I write the function JavaScript, and then I say location reload true. And so it refreshes the page. And so that's just a really nice way to refresh the page. Okay. So now I've set up on the form the checkboxes, and you can see I have three checkboxes, and the line in between, I have no idea why it's there. Apparently I hit enter a second time. But I've set up three checkboxes. So type is all checkbox, but they all have different names. Okay, so all of them have different names. So the name is CIS-120, CIS-121, and CIS-122. So I gave them all different names, but they're all checkboxes. When I click, I'm saying go do the function called courses check, and send it the information from the form. Course info is the information from the form. And I put it in there in both ID and name, which is my favorite way to do it because they can't seem to decide what to do. So I like doing it both ways. And so I'm saying send up all the information from the form. Okay? So when I get up there, then, yeah, right. Who would possibly have that set? But anyway, when I get up there, and I will go and look at all of their statements, but if you look up ahead, you'll see I start out by saying, if course info dot something else. So since I sent up the form, I'm simply saying, okay, go to that course info form and look at this field. Go to the course info form and look at that field. And I'm sending it to look at different fields. So instead of sending up all the fields, I can send up the form. But if I send up the form, then I write the course info on it. So I went up and I received the form. And on the couple, the top ones, I put in the whole thing, which you don't need. As you can see, later on, I stopped doing that. But at the beginning, I wrote windows.document.courseinfo. Okay? And that actually works if you don't send anything up, because it knows it's supposed to go to the document, and then the course info is the name of the form within the document, and it tells it where everything is. So the most complete description is window.document.courseinfo. And just keep going down a level. First we're going to the window, then we're going to the document within the window, then we're going to the form, and then we're going to the particular field called CIS-120 with that name. When you're looking at checkboxes, you say, once you get to a checkbox, you ask dot checked equals true. So I'm asking if it is true. Okay, and if I get a true to all three, then I'm saying taking all three. Else, okay, and this else is tied to this if statement right there. Okay, I got one free mark this semester, this hour, and now it's going back to not wanting me to write. First time I got to do it, though. Okay, so this else, okay, goes with that if. Okay. And for some reason, they're not as lined up as nicely as I would like, but that else goes with that if. So, if I do not, if the 122 is not checked, what does that tell me? I got a yes to 120, I got a yes to 121, but I got a no to 122 being checked. So that means I'm writing out taking CIS-120 and CIS-121. Okay? Now, this else goes up here. So with that else, I know that 120 is checked. And I know 121 is not checked. So now I've got to check up and see what the story is with 122. And if 122 is checked, then I say taking 120 and 122. Else, they're just taking 120. Because that's the only one that I got a yes to. Up there, I got a yes to 120. Okay. And then this else goes to that one. So at that point, I know 120 is not checked. I ask, is 121 checked? If it is, then I ask if 122 is checked. If it is, I get the 121 and 122. Else, if 121 is checked, but 122 isn't, etc. So I'm going through this whole thing. So if you look at the logic on this, I'm starting out and I'm saying 120, and I'm just writing the name in there, and that means, is it checked? Okay? So if that's checked, then I'm saying, okay, 121. And if that's checked, then I'm saying, okay, 122. And if that's checked, then I'm printing out all three. Okay, so I'm saying that that's all three. If I get a no to this one, okay, so I'm right here. If I get a no to that one, then it's just 120 and 121 that was checked, right? So it's 120 and 121. Because I got a yes to 120, I got a yes to 121, but I got a no to 122. So that tells me that it's just 120 and 121. Okay. Now, if I get a no to this, then I know 120 was checked. I know 121 wasn't checked, but I don't know about 122 yet. So I have to ask the 122 question. And if I get a yes to 122, then I know that I have 120 and 122. If I get a no, then I know I just have 120. Okay? And that's that one right there. Just taking 120.
Say pretty much just as code every day.
Possible
combination.
That's all I'm doing. Right. I'm looking for every possible combination. I got three things.
I take it. This wouldn't be a good way of doing it if there's like a lot more combinations.
Well, I mean, you know, unfortunately, you got to ask the questions no matter how many there are. And if somebody has a whole lot they want to check, you know, you might come up with a simpler way where you write out, you know, the 120 and write out, yes, it's 120, and then ask about 121 and make them separate ifs. But I didn't do it that way. So if I get a no to this, then I need to ask about 121. And if I get a yes to 121, then I need to ask about 122. And if I get a yes to that, what have I got?
I have 121 and
22. 121 and 122. And if I get a no to this, what have I got?
121.
I just got 121. Okay. And if I get a no to this, what have I got?
Another selected. No.
I got a no to 120, I got a no to 121, but I don't know about 122 yet, right?
Yes, yeah.
So I got to ask about 122, and if 122 is a yes, then I have 122. If it's a no, I've got nothing. Right?
I see. It's symmetrical.
Okay. And I better save the ink notes because I really don't want to do that at home. Okay. So the bottom one is no courses checked. Okay, so that goes all the way through what we just looked at. And you're right. It's a lot of questions. What you could do is, I wanted to put out the kind of all-in-one message, but you could have put them out in different messages, so done something like that, which would make it a lot easier. Okay. So, that's that one. And then I did checkbox one. And here I was counting how many courses they had. Okay, so here, and I put up alerts in this one. Apparently I had a problem when I first wrote it or something. And so, or else I just decided to put in the alerts. But by putting in the alerts, I know where I am. So, in my function, the very first thing I said was alert in. And that tells me that I got into the function. And if I have a reason to believe I didn't get into the function, that alert in reassures me that I'm actually there. And then I wanted to set my count equal to zero because I don't want it left over from other things. So I set the count equal to zero. And then I have separate ifs here. If 120 is checked, then I take course count and add one to it. And I put on an alert that showed what it was at that point. If course 22 is checked, I add one. And if course 159 is checked, I add one. So potentially I can get three. Okay. And what I did here was the way I like to code when I'm doing this. First of all, I send out course info, which is all the info on the course. And on click, I said the courses.value, and here's the courses, is going to be equal to whatever is returned. Okay, so I'm sending up course info. I'm saying return course count. And course count, yep, course count will be put into the courses and is put in as a value. Okay, so I am, wait a minute, I came over here and then I didn't click my magic spot. Okay, so I am returning course count. And when I return, it returns it to the courses.value. And that means that it's put in right there. So I get the course count put in right there. And when I had two, I got a two put in there. So in this one, I'm saying on click, do that function, send it course info, and whatever is returned, make it the value of the courses. And remember that value is needed when you're dealing with a text box. Okay? So I want to put it in as the value in a text box. And again, a text box has a lot of properties. And so I have to tell it that I want the value property, which is the content of the text box. Okay? Questions? So I just, in this one, I've asked all individual questions. Okay, if this one is checked, add one. If this one is checked, add one. If this one is checked, add one. And I end up with the total. Okay, so if I check all three and say refresh first and then check all three, I have the in that comes up that tells me I'm in there. Then I watch it count. One, two, three. And then it puts out the three. And watching it count is because I have those alerts in there. And again, those will only be there for debugging purposes. So I would take the alerts out once things are working. But they're a wonderful thing to know that, to keep track of what's happening. Questions?
On your click action in the bottom?
Yep.
In the form?
Yep.
You had in parentheses the course info?
Yep. That's the name of the form.
Oh, okay. Because then you have, oh, I see now. Because then the course of the form has the JavaScript.
So that's the name of the form. So instead of saying, and I could have, instead of saying send up CIS-120, CIS-122, CIS-159, I just send the course info. And then I said course info contains CIS-120, so I wrote it as courseinfo.cis120. Okay? So by sending up a whole form, I basically have access to everything on the form. And then the last one, checkboxes. I actually just turned it into a loop. So I said, okay, alert in. Set up variable course count 0 and set up an index. And an index is a pointer or something. So I said variable index equals 0. And then I said while index is less than 3. Okay? If I had started index out as 1, then I'd have a problem because index is automatically start at 0, so it's a little easier to do this. So what I did down here is I gave them all the same name. And when I give them all the same name, it basically sets up an array, and we looked a tiny bit at arrays last time. But essentially what it does is it sets up an array, and the array has all three things in it. Okay? So it sets up an array of CISs. So I can never refer to CIS alone because there are three of them. So I can never say do something with CIS alone because I've named three things CIS, and it's going to say, which one is it? So what I've got is that one is CIS with a 0. And the next one is CIS with a 1. And the next one is CIS with a 2. So it has set up an array of saying there are three CISs. And I will differentiate them by saying the first one is going to be CIS-0, and the next one is going to be CIS-1, and the next one is going to be CIS-2. Okay? So, I set that up, and then over here I said, well, index is less than 3, because this is the index. Okay, and I frequently spell index without an E because index spelled correctly is frequently a reserved word. And so if I spell it this way, then it's not a reserved word. And so it's easier. So I'm saying here, well, index is less than 3, and obviously we can see that we don't want it to go to 3 because there isn't another one. And then I said, okay, alert loop, and that means I'm in the loop. I just wanted to know that I made it into the loop. And then I said, okay, if crsinfo.cis, well, last time I'd given them separate names, so I said .cis120, .cis121, .cis122, this one I'm saying CIS modified by index. So the first time through, this is going to be a zero. So it's checking to see if CIS zero is checked. Okay? Then I am going to, this is the if. And if it is checked equals true, then I add one to course count because I'm counting how many are checked. So I add one to course count. I don't have an else on this if. Okay, this is the if right here. I don't have an else on it. After I get out of the if, I add one to index. And then I loop back. Here is the loop. Here is the if. I loop back and I put out the alert that says loop. Index is now a 1, so I check to see if CIS 1 is checked. If it is, I add 1, and then I add 1 to the index. And when I go through the loop ends when index becomes 3. So when I add 1 to index and index becomes 3, it's done and it leaves. Okay. Now, I don't quite know what happened to my curly braces on these because I don't tend to write that way, but I remember that it kind of got messed up. So if I were doing this, if you want a clearer version, font, let's go up to 16. Okay, a clearer version of this. Well, actually, it's fine now when I've taken it over. Look.
Right, that's weird.
It's fine. But that's the way I wanted it to look, and I don't know what happened to it internally when the thing was going, but this shows my if statement, and this shows my while. So here's my if, and here's my while. And when I copied and pasted, I got it just right. So there we have it. And as I've mentioned before, some people prefer to put the top curly brace on the same line with the while or on the same line with the if. And that's fine. I don't prefer that, so I don't. But either way works. So then I return course count. And when I return it, it goes into the course's value. So that just looks a lot nicer.
Actually, I don't know why I did that, because they look just fine.
I've seen that before with other programs as well.
Doing it?
Yeah, online. Like, I'll put it on and I'll look at it. It looks nothing like...
Nothing like you wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it works.
And that's the important thing. Okay, so this one is kind of interesting, because it goes through a while loop. Okay. It goes through a while loop. And I want to take a picture of that again and make sure I'm not... I'm taking pictures of blank screens. Okay. What am I getting? Blank screens. Okay. Yes, I got it this time. Okay, so this is using a while loop. And again, that means to use the while loop, I need to have the same name. And so I set it up down there, and it makes the same name. And it basically makes an invisible array. We're going to look at how you can make arrays. But programming... Behind the scenes, lots of things get turned into arrays. So because I gave this, now some languages, if you gave three things the same name,
would yell at you and basically say you can't do it, and that means you have to define the array. But JavaScript and PHP both tend to do the behind-the-scenes array. And so if you have three things that may have the same name, they create an array on that.
So you have to know basically what's going to do it behind the scenes for you. Sure.
It's only like a basic counting.
Yeah, it's a very basic counting. So yes, you could definitely turn that into a for loop.
Because you'd say for, and then you'd start it out at zero, and you'd say
You put course count equals zero, and then semicolon index equals zero, right? Then you put a semicolon. For your while, index is less than 3.
Right.
Semicolon.
And then index.
Then you would put the course count plus 1 and index.
No, you wouldn't put the course count plus 1. That would be inside the loop. The only thing you're going to have in the for statement is the things that impact the index.
So you would have in the for statement the fact that index starts at 0, that its limitation is I want it to be less than 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing would be either this statement or index plus plus, which adds 1 to index.
Okay. And then the course count, well, the check, the whole if statement would go in the loop. Because you want to check to see if it's checked. And if it is, then you want to add 1 to course count. So that whole if statement would be what you would put into the loop. And I think I've taken 25 pictures of this now. So, anyway. Okay. So, the next one is the radio buttons. And actually, radio buttons can only have 1.
Okay, so they're a lot easier to ask questions about because only 1 can be checked at a time.
Okay? So, I have 1 checked. And if I look at the source for this page, okay, so I started out and I set message equal to spaces.
Because if nothing is checked. And I gave the name radio button to them. And again, they all have the same name. So that made the array. And so again,
I keep being hopeful, optimistic or something. What did I just do? Whatever.
I think you had 2 open.
Well, I'm going to check and see if I'm still taking pictures in a minute.
Oh boy.
Yeah, right, exactly. So this one is radio button 0, and this one down there is radio button 1. And the third one is radio button 2. And notice over here, that's what I'm checking, radio button 0, 1, and 2.
Radio buttons have to be done like this because essentially they have to be grouped. And we're going to now check and see if it actually is saving that. Yes, it did, and yes, it did. So I guess I didn't get messed up by having 2 of them open. So what I've got there is I sent up radio button. I could have also sent up pay info, but in this particular case, I actually said to send radio button.
And then I said, okay, is radio button 0 checked equals true? And if it is, I put out a message that says salary employee. Or I actually put the liberal in the message. I return the message. That's when it gets sent out. Is I return the message.
Okay. That actually, I think, should have pay info. Should have worked fine. I'm curious. And that goes into the type dot value. Okay. So these were separate if statements. They weren't even, and I want to check the next one before I do what I think I'm going to do. I'm curious. I ran into problems with these, and I fixed them a week or so ago. And now I can't remember what I fixed. So I'm going to take this, and I'm going to be curious. I want to try something. So I'm doing edit copy. And I'm coming up with a notepad. And I'm saying edit paste. And save as. And I think I actually want to put it on my disk. So I'm going to... Okay. So I'm going to say save as... And sooner or later, it's going to come up with those discs. There we go. So I'm going to radio test.html. Save. Okay, so what I want to do is, ordinarily, I just send up the pay info, which is on the form. And I claim that that should work. But I don't know whether it will claim that that should work. Or if there is some special thing that I've forgotten about how this does it. So I'm going to try sending that up and seeing if that works. So I'm sending up pay info instead of radio button. So I'm going to save this and take a picture of it. And there we go again. Now I'm going to try running it. So file, open file. And I call that radio info, right? Radio test. Yeah, that worked fine too. Okay, so either of those worked fine. Okay, so I just changed that to pay info, which meant send up the form, and that worked fine as well. But I also apparently could send up radio button, and it sent up the array of radio buttons. Okay, and then I'm returning message, which is being made the value of the type. So this one worked fine, which... I claim it should, so I was glad it did. Okay. And then, let's see, radio 2. I just did it with if-elses. That's the only difference there. Instead of making standalone ifs, I made if-elses. Okay. And either one of them will work. Because it can only be one possibility, you can do standalone ifs, or you can do an if-else. Because if it's checked is true, then I don't care about checking the others because only one thing can be checked. So I only care about asking the other questions if the first thing isn't checked. Now, I can't do that with checkboxes because I can have multiple checkboxes checked. Okay. questions?
I have one kind of indirect. On my PHP assignment...
Talk about form, indirect.
On my form, I did ELSIF, and when I select the multiple radio buttons, it actually selects all three of them. It's only the selecting one.
I'd have to look at it.
Yeah, so if I change my ELSIF to if else, it shouldn't do that.
Maybe. As I said, I'd have to look at it.
I was showing Nick, and he was like, that shouldn't happen.
Flying sauces do happen.
It's a different class.
So he's asking a totally irrelevant question in the middle of his class. People at home, ignore him. That's just Tom.
It's not totally irrelevant. I'm just saying my radio buttons were selecting multiples.
Okay, moving right along. This is going back. I'm going back up to arrays. And I want to look at arrays now, so I'm looking at those. And I'm clicking on arrays, and it says, please enter the department number. So I'm going to enter department 3. And it says the department is CU. Okay, so here is my array. I don't think that's anything but words out there, so I can forget that. Okay, so I set up an array. And again, an array is a cluster of data that all has the same name. So these are all departments. And I have the department BU for business, CI for computer, CU for culinary, and OF for office administration. And those are all within this division. So I decided to set them up. Now, arrays automatically have a zeroth element. And I can ignore it, or I can do something like I did here, which is write a message that says there is no department zero. So I have department array, and I set it up as a new array, and 4 is the maximum number that will work in it. So I set it up as a new array with 4 as my maximum number. Then I said, okay, within that array, department array 0 is going to be nothing. Department array 1 is BU, department array 2 is CI, and so forth. Okay, so I have set up the array, and the way people usually draw arrays is like this. So this one says no department 0, this one says, and I put them in there, and this has the index of 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. And those are called indexes, or they also sometimes are called subscripts, and they're also sometimes called pointers, and there's probably 5,000 other names. But those are the ones that are most frequently seen. Okay? So, I have an array that starts with 0 and ends with 4, and I've defined it. It has 5 elements, okay? And so now I've said, let's prompt enter the department number. Now, as long as department number is less than 5, and we're making an assumption here that it is not going to go into negative numbers. If I actually think my user is going to type a negative number, then I'd have to ask the question, okay, and not less than 0, okay? But I don't think they are, so I'm leaving it. And I say, okay, now, as long as it's less than 5, document write, the literal, the department is, concatenated with department array, modified by the department number that I put in. So if I put in a 3, it is going to pull out CU, which is what I put in. If I put in a 2, it's going to pull out CI. Else, it's an invalid department number. If it's not less than 5, it's an invalid department number. Does that make sense? And I think the next array okay. So on the next one, I actually have a function. So instead of just putting that in the code, I put it all inside a function, including setting up the array. I put it all inside a function. And so I said down here in my script, simply go do the function. And I didn't return anything from the function. I actually did the document writes right in the function. So I took that whole bit and put it in the function. Okay. And it will be executed when I hit the script and it says, go do the department array function.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Okay. So it immediately goes and does the function. But if you watch it, once it's in the function, it puts up the prompt. It sets up the array, and then it puts up the prompt. So if I put in a 1 here, okay, it's now in the function. It has put up the prompt, and it's waiting because prompt and alert stop things and don't continue until I do something. Prompt and alert both stop processing. Okay. And the last one, I actually had a click event. Okay. Now notice on this one, I don't even have a form. I just have set up the form without actually telling it it's a form, which I can do. I can have this input type, all of that sort of stuff without actually telling it that it's a form. I usually tell it it's a form, but you don't have to. Okay? So I have this deal where I put in the department number. Okay. So I'm going to put in the department number and I'm going to put in 2. And then I'm saying nothing's happening until I say click. When I say click, it tells me it's in the function. It tells me it's 2. It tells me therefore it's CI. And it puts out the CI. Okay, so it went down, and I put it in, and then I said on click, and on click, I'm going and doing the department array function, passing the department number in that I entered. Here's department number in. And this time I used ID, could have used name. And I'm saying go do the function and return the result. And the result goes into department out. And inside the function, I have a bunch of alerts that are basically showing me where I am. So I have an alert that says I'm in the function. Then I have another alert that says I have figured out what the index is, because I have taken the value from department number in and put it in department index. And then I use that to get result, and then I tell you what result is, and then I actually return it. So again, the alerts are really just doing that kind of thing. The next one is a two-dimensional array. And I'm actually going to go over here. We don't need to see the head stuff. Okay, so on this particular one, I've set up three different arrays.
Yeah, it's very similar. But this is JavaScript, but it looks an awful lot like PHP, you're right.
Okay, so I set up three functions. I set up a function called travelArray. I set up, not three different functions, I'm sorry, three different arrays. Okay, so I have an array that I set up, and I put these within a function, and you don't have to do that as we saw in the last two examples where I put them in the function once and not in the function the other time. So here I have a from city. So I'm traveling from either Boston, New York, Raleigh or Washington, D.C. And I'm traveling to Istanbul, Baku, or London. Okay, what's capital of Baku? What's Baku the capital of?
I don't have a clue.
Ah, come on, Tom. I've asked you this before.
Yeah, like a month ago.
Azerbaijan. My daughter lived in Baku for a while.
I don't know.
I don't know. Azerbaijan, it's next to Turkey. It's one of the Russian breakoffs.
Alright. Oh, yeah.
That's really small, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Azerbaijan.
She lived in Istanbul for a while, and then she went over to Baku for a while.
There's also a geography lesson as well.
That's right. That's what I figure everybody that takes a class from me where I do arrays will at least know that there is a city called Baku.
That's a cool-looking city.
Every city looks cool when you look. Everyone look it up on Google.
That's right.
Only show the nicest images.
When you actually live there, she had a rat family in her couch, etc., etc. So.
Oh,
jeez. So, I have a from city, I have a to city, and then I set up an array of prices, because if you have a from city and a to city, think about mileage maps that you've seen and fares that you've seen. It's a two-dimensional array. So I have a two-dimensional array. And I have, let's see, five things, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yes.
And then I have four things. Okay, so this is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 0, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so basically this is Boston, this is New York, this is Raleigh, and this is D.C. And going across, this is Istanbul, this is Baku, and this is London. Okay? So now I'm putting in the fares for these. So the zeros are all zero, but let's look at 1, 1.
1-1 is Boston to Istanbul is $897. Okay? And Boston to Baku is $987.98. And Boston to London is $299.99. And then, this is zero. And then New York to Istanbul is $745.75, $923.45, $235.97, etc. And this last one is $250.98. Okay, so there's my two-dimensional array.
It looks like PHP in the sense that when you look at the page source, after you looked at where you're putting your information, it just tells you what's being printed.
Yeah.
It's, you know, whereas normally you would see everything. Which is weird.
Okay, so I'm now saying I have a... from city, I have a to city, and I have a price array. Okay? And then I've said down at the bottom, document right, you are traveling from, and I said go to from city modified by the from index.
Okay? And then I said, you're traveling to, and go to two city, modified by the two index. And your fare is, go to the price one, and take both the from and the to. Okay.
So if I look at this, and I go over here, and I say, I'm going to enter in here that I'm going from New York, and I'm entering here that I'm going to Baku. So I'm entering the two in the two, and it says find out the fare, and it tells me $923.45. Okay. And it says you're traveling from New York to Baku, your fare is... because it isn't showing me the function. Okay. Okay. I'm skipping associative array. Anybody that wants to is more than welcome to look at it. I am going to go now back to XHTML. And go into the JavaScript there and pick up a couple of things that I want to mention down at the bottom. One of them is animation. So go into the XHTML, then go into the JavaScript, and then go into animation.html, which is way down here under extra JavaScript. So there's animation. Okay?
And that's the best of my artwork. Okay?
So, how did I do that? I actually went into Paint, and I made four pictures. Okay?
I'll post a GIF file and not do this. I'm just saying it there.
Pardon me?
It's pronounced GIF.
I mean, you can go and use an app, all kinds of different apps to create animation.
I know.
If you want to be authentic.
That's what a GIF file is, though. It's the different images compressed into one. Yeah. So, I mean, if you tried to upload it and, paint, it just stops.
Right.
Unless you tell it that it's a GIF.
Right, and what I'm doing is I'm going to keep bringing up different ones. I mean, this is the code that you can write to do animation. Now, animation, there's a whole lot of stuff out there that can do animation and help you out with it. But if you want to write your own animation, then you have to control it. So I set up an array that had the four images in it. And so I've got an array, and I said new image is going to be first array modified by zero, and the source for that is going to be image one GIF. And then the source for the next one is image two GIF, and the source for the next one is image three GIF, and the source for the next one is image four GIF. Okay. Then I said on load, if you look down below, on load, I said do cycle, which is the name of the function that is going to cycle through it. Okay? So I said, okay, document rotate source. Rotate is the name of the area that I'm doing it. You can see down here, I had image source is image one GIF, so it starts out there. The name is rotate. And the width is 50% of the page, and the height is 50% of the page, or whatever. So I now have said document rotate, so that's that area. The source is going to be first array index source. So if the index is 0, it's going to be image 1. If the index is 1, it's going to be image 2, and so forth. So I've said first array modified by index source. Okay, so it's going to show that image. Then it says, okay, now take index and add 1 to it. If the index is equal to 4, then I'm done, so reset it to 0. Okay, as long as it's not 4, set the timeout for 1,000 whatever, milliseconds or whatever it is. And that just keeps the timer, so it keeps each image up there for that long. Okay? So I said source, set timeout on cycle to that. I keep resetting to 0, so this is a never-ending loop. Because as soon as it hits 4, I reset it to 0, and it's a never-ending loop. If I only wanted to do this 20 times or something, I'd have to put a different code in there so that I would only do it and keep a counter of how many times I'd done it and only do it 20 times. But I wanted to go on forever, and so it goes on forever.
Lovely.
Hmm?
Lovely.
Thank you.
What is it actually doing?
Showing four different images in a row.
It's just shrinking.
Yes. Okay. Are you making fun of my artwork?
No. Is that swimming?
I'm on a breaststroke.
But anyway, it is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's showing my four different images. And going through my four different images and then setting it back to 0 and starting all over again. Okay. So, the next one is animation repeat. And that one goes back up. It goes down and now it goes back up and then it goes down and then it goes back up. Okay, so this one I keep track of up and down. And so I have a direction function that goes up and down. And so if the direction function equals down, I go through one loop. And then when I hit the top, I set the direction function to U. So that if it's U, then it's going up and I'm subtracting one. If it's going down, I'm adding one. And when it gets to 0, I reset to D. And I made this one a little faster. It's got 500 as opposed to 1,000. OK. Okay. So I go down and I go back up and I go down and I go back up and I go down, etc. And it's about as boring as that. But anyway, that's what goes on. You know, magic happens with animation nowadays, but the magic is being generated. You know, if you tell it that you want these different images, then it's got the code behind the scenes to do it. But somewhere, somebody wrote code to make it do its thing. Okay, there's one other thing I want to look in here, which is southworthx.html. Okay, so I've got, and my colors are not great for going up on the board, but anyway. I have got a nursery here. And over under Make Choice, I have a bunch of different things you can buy. Rhododendrons, azaleas, flowering trees, and shrubs. And if I pick rhododendrons, it comes up with the price range for rhododendrons. And if I pick flowering trees, it comes up with the price range for flowering trees. So whatever I pick, it comes up with the price range. And if I pick Make Choice, it tells me no choice. Okay. So it goes through all of that. The name does nothing. It just lets me put in name and address. Okay.
Buying some trees.
Yeah.
See where like the name and then city, how they're indented a little bit? How do you fix that?
Yeah, with more precision than I have.
Put it in a table, right?
Yeah, if you put it in a table, that would probably be the good approach.
Where's your send button so you can buy these trees?
I don't know.
I'm not delivering. But, yeah, he's probably right. About the best way to do it is to put it in a table, an invisible table behind. And then it will line up for you.
All right. Well, I thought when I did some of the forms, I did that,
and
I couldn't fix it.
Yeah, no, I, if you look at how I did this, I guessed my way through it with a lot of NBSPs. And that's a totally ineffective way of doing it. But if you put a table in there, yes, it would make it, you know, an invisible table would make it work better. So I should have indented a little bit so that it looked like I thought I was indenting a few for everything and moved everything in or something so it would have looked like I actually knew what I was doing as opposed to guessing how many NBSPs to put in there. Okay, so what I did here is, first of all, I have a form named Nursery Choice. So this one has a lot of forms. I've got the form for name, address, information. I've got the form for prices. I've got the form for nursery choice. There's a whole lot of forms positioned around in this particular thing. So under the form name nursery choice, I simply have select. Okay. I would like pricing information about. And then I set up a select name on change, and I made it an on change there. Okay, so I have a select here, and I put all of the options in there. And I gave it the name item choice. And I said on change, go and do the function call set price and send it to form dot item choice, which is the name of the select option, dot selected index. Okay, and that's something you can do when you set up one of these selects and have multiple things there. You can say, I want it to be aware of which one you have selected. So the thing you click on, it gives it the selected index. Okay, so I have 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And so it is going to select the selected index. So when I clicked on rhododendrons, I was ascending 1. When I clicked on flowering trees, I was ascending 3. Okay, so I'm sending the number
there. And I'm sending it to the function called setPrice. Okay? So now I've got to find the function called setPrice. Okay, there it is. I knew it was up there someplace. Okay. So I have a script type equals text JavaScript, and I've set up an array.
And this is an alternate way to set up an array. You know, I've been doing them going down and putting the indexes after them. An alternate way to set up an array is this. And what it does is it takes the first thing in that set of parentheses, and it says, okay, this one right here is price group modified by 0. And this one is price group modified by 1. And it goes through and does that.
So instead of setting them up going down, I can go across like this and say price group modified by 0, price group modified by 1, price group modified by 2, and keep going across like that. So I've set up that array, and I pass the selected index. Okay, I pass the selected index up here. So now I'm saying, okay, I've got the index, and let's say that I did a 1 for rhododendrons. Okay, so it goes up there, and it's got received the 1. So now it says, okay, document.nurseryPrice.price.value equals price group modified by pass parameter. And if the pass parameter is 1, then it knows that this is the price group. That's the price group. So if the pass parameter is 1, it knows that that is the price group. If the pass parameter was 2, then it would have gone for the 15 to 45. And it puts that, it makes that the value of the price field in the nursery price area of the document. So if I go down and find that area, nurseryPrice.price. Anybody see it? There it is.
So he is nurseryPrice.price. Right there. So it is going to put the price. It's going to take that price down and put it right there. The price is showing up right there.
So there's a lot you can do with JavaScript as far as setting up forms and, you know, manipulating things. And this one showed me how I could present a group of options based on the option that was chosen. I could put out a price range.
And this basically uses a form that has a bunch of options. It uses an array set up a little bit differently. And it uses a function to get the price and send it down to this particular form.
And on this one, I have a whole bunch of forms, and all of them have different names. So I'm sending it to different places. Questions? We're starting to get sort of sophisticated, so if you have a question, ask. Does it make sense? Well, ask if you have a question. Okay. This would be well worth going through this particular one and making sure that you kind of follow how it's going. All right, why don't we take a break? Because we've been doing this for an hour and a half.
What does the NBSP part mean on the name?
It just means leave a space.
Oh,
okay. And it leaves a single space.
All right.
And the problem is, it would probably work better if I changed the fonts. The problem is that the font that's being used is not a fixed font. And so if I change the fonts, I might have better lineup, because if I use a fixed font where every character takes the same amount of room, then I'm going to get better lineup than when I use a varied font where an M takes more than an I and all that sort of stuff. Because if you look at this, name and city are the same number of characters, but look at how...
City's much shorter. Okay, if you look down at these, name and city, city's much shorter because it's got the I and the T in it, whereas name has the M in it. And I can't remember, is it M or W, or are they the same? One of those is the widest letter of the alphabet, is M or W. And so name has an M in it and it has an N in it, which isn't. And so that's why the things get off. Is if you're using the variable font and then you try to put in the NBSPs. That's why it gets off. And so the other alternative to that would be to choose a fixed font and go and look. I mean, Courier New is the obvious fixed font, but a lot of times people don't think that's terribly pretty. So you have to go get lists of fixed fonts. So that might do it, too. All right. As I said a few moments ago, take a break.